Ellie Sanson's passion, as you may have heard last week, is rocks from the sky. Curtin University has long been training video cameras, secreted all over the Nullarbor and further west, to spot meteorites as they descend, especially two which have just landed. And this is why it's so exciting.
Meteorites with orbits are extremely special and can help us piece together the story of our early solar system, how elements were being moved around, and help figure out where Earth's water came from, kick-starting life. There are other groups around the world that have been trying to recover meteorites with orbits since the 1950s, but there are still less than 40 of these pristine, early solar system samples out there that we know where they come from. We see about one fireball a night over the entire 3 million square kilometres that we're looking at, and a lot of those are really small, maybe about the size of a grape, and are in really hard to reach places in the middle of the outback. And to be honest, they look very similar to kangaroo poo. So we don't get that many falling to begin with. In November 2019, we got really excited about a big fall in the Nullarbor. We ideally want to recover these meteorites really quickly so they don't get rained on, but we can't really search over summer. It just gets too hot and rain isn't really likely out there in any case. So we're starting to plan our trip for March, but due to the unfortunate pandemic situation, we were no longer able to go and we were pretty disappointed. But as restrictions were starting to lift, we started planning that trip again for July. And 2 weeks before that, we saw another promising fireball just east of Esperance. We weren't sure if we wanted to change our plans to that new spot though, especially seeing it as we didn't have all the data for the new event as some of our cameras were offline. So we decided to send a scout trip of one vehicle and two researchers to collect the extra data and scout the fall site, which was only a couple of kilometres off the air highway near Madura Cave. Dr. Hadrian de Villepoix is our science lead and took a colleague out into the field for the first time. And the first thing they did when they reached the fall site is to start taking drone imagery of the area. So we use this not only to get an idea of the vegetation and how easy it's going to be for that team to search, but we also use it to collect training data for our machine learning programs. We're basically trying to train drones to spot meteorites in images, just like in facial recognition programs. But it's still in development and the guys were placing what we call meteorongs, so fake meteorites. It's basically rocks painted black around the area for the drone to photograph. And then they decided to go for a walk along the fall line to check out what the area looked like on foot. The way we predict where meteorites fall depends on their size, their shape, the winds, so many different factors. And we predict what we call a fall line. So basically one end of the line is where something heavy would have fallen and the other end is where we'd look if it was small. And we usually search up to 300 metres either side of that line, but that can be sometimes tens of kilometres long, depending on how steep that rock came in through our atmosphere. And we predicted this rock would be around 1 to 2 kilos, so about the size of a grapefruit, and that line was about 2 kilometres long. So as they were walking along the track and decided to cut back to their car, and they spotted what appeared to be a real meteorite on the ground just in front of them. They both thought the other was playing a joke, placing one of those meteorongs on the ground to get the other excited. But they quickly realised that was the actual meteorite they were looking for. And those of us waiting to hear if the fall line was a go or not were blown away and overjoyed that it had been found so quickly. And it was less than 50 metres from that line that we'd predicted. The fusion crust was perfectly intact, shiny and black. So that fusion crust is basically the outer shell that the meteorite develops as it comes in through the atmosphere and the outer layer starts burning up. And that can go rusty pretty quickly when it's on the ground. So although there are in-depth tests that we need to do to ensure the freshness of this meteorite fall, this is a really good indicator that it hasn't been on the ground long and it's definitely our rock. So got brought back and handed over to the expert geochemists we have here at the Space Science and Technology Centre, who will give it a basic classification, it will get an official name, and then colleagues around the world can request for pieces to start unlocking its secrets. And it will have a cool story. We know where it comes from, and it's not where we'd usually expect. Most of these space rocks come from somewhere in the main asteroid belt, sitting somewhere between Mars and Jupiter. But this rock has a really unique orbit coming from between Earth and the Sun. And investigating its history will be a fascinating story indeed. And so with this success, the next team were really excited to go out and find another meteorite, though they felt they had quite a lot to live up to. The trip went out as planned to the Nullarbor. They set up camp with 2 weeks ahead of them expected at that site. And the full site for this one was about 5 kilometres long, but the rock was predicted to be quite a lot smaller, about 200 to 300 grams only, so closer to a golf ball than the grapefruit size of the other meteorite. On the team's first walk the next day, they found the meteorite within 100 metres of that line within 4 hours of searching. This is an incredible achievement for our team. These recoveries make it sound so easy, but there are so many unknowns about these rocks that will affect the fall position that finding something so small so accurately is really showing that what we have gone out to achieve is actually working. This has been a goal of many previous networks, but none of them have individually recovered as many meteorites as we have. I am incredibly proud of how our project has developed, the dedication of the team, and how this has transformed the last 8 years of development into a world-recognized facility for recovering fresh meteorites with orbits. This also puts us in a great position for our current expansion into the Global Fireball Observatory. We have partners around the world, from colleagues at NASA to Canada, Morocco, UK, Saudi Arabia, and Argentina. And these groups are taking advantage of our expertise, setting up cameras around the world so we can see these phenomena all over the globe and getting an idea of what's hitting Earth in both hemispheres. Even if space rocks do burn up in our atmosphere, we still record their sizes and where they come from so we can get an idea of what material is hitting Earth and from where. The stuff we're looking at, the rocks that make these bright fireballs, are too small for telescope surveys to see. So they're not going to destroy the Earth, but they can still cause quite a bit of damage, as we saw in Russia back in 2013. And if we can get a better idea of where this stuff is coming from, maybe we can start seeing patterns and finding out if there are any danger zones out there that we have to look for in the future.
Ellie Sanson, one of our ABC Top 10 finalists at Curtin University in Perth, with happy news about those two special rocks from space. And as she said, a bit like finding kangaroo poo in a wide brown land. Clever.